Welcome to Puentes a la Comunidad, Bridges to the Community. Hello, I'm your host, Emily Guerra. My guest on this edition is ALEC, A-L-E-C, American Legislative Exchange Council, Executive Vice President of Policy and Chief Economist, Jonathan Williams, from Washington, D.C., to talk to us about rich states, poor states, their 14th annual study on state economic competitiveness and outlook for growth. Thank you for joining me on Puentes.
Well, thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to join you.
You're welcome. Briefly, what is ALEC, and how do you help develop economic policy solutions for the states?
So ALEC is nearly a 50-year organization that is comprised of state policymakers from the 50 state capitals, and members of the business community and individuals who care about economic health and success of our states. And we're a little unique in that we don't think that all the good ideas come from Washington. In fact, many times it's the 50 states, as former Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis would say, are the 50 laboratories of democracy. And we feel that so many of the positive solutions for our economies and for our people across the United States come from these 50 states and the differences in policymaking. And so we have come up with series of best practices, and we look at this concept of what works and what doesn't work, of course, across states. And that oftentimes teaches us some very important lessons about economic policy going forward, and working on this report now for nearly 15 years with the famous economist Arthur Laffer and Stephen Moore, my co-authors. I've traveled to all 50 states and have worked with policymakers and looking at these best practices and our findings.
What makes this study unique, and what does it mean to the nation and New Mexico?
Well, I think what's unique about our study is there's many different groups and different types of studies that rank the states, and that's all important because our ideas about competitiveness and what it means to be a successful state, these are important discussions that all of us should be having around our 50 state capitals. But I think the 15 things that we measure in the Rich States, Poor States report are important for a couple of reasons. First is that all the 15 things that we look at, such as taxes and regulation and labor policy, we know that they matter for job creation and economic growth and economic success of the states. But secondly, I think, and perhaps just as importantly, the measures that we look at are important and somewhat unique in that they're things that state policymakers in Santa Fe and other state capitals across the country directly control, in that obviously some states have advantages because of tourism and because of deep water ports and because of beaches and industrial classifications such as Silicon Valley and California and Wall Street and New York. But what are the things and the policies that state legislators in every single state can control? And that's what we focus on in our report.
What impact did the pandemic have on state rankings this year, and what does it mean to New Mexico to rank 38th?
Well, it was a difficult year for everyone, certainly, and states were not exempt from this. If we were talking a year ago right now, there was just so much uncertainty when it comes to state budgets and state revenue. And let me just say, I would not want to have been in the shoes of any of the men and women out there, chief executives and governors of the states, and then certainly the leaders in state legislatures around the country as well. They were navigating unprecedented times, and let's hope once-in-a-lifetime experiences that we've all had to go through. And so there was a real fear that there would be a massive shortage of state revenue. There would be massive tax increases, perhaps, on the backs of working men and women across the country. And thankfully, because of our resilience as a country, because we've come together and we've been able to hopefully see the worst of this pandemic in the rearview mirror now, states that were not in a crisis mode like we thought they might be in. And in fact, you look back at 2020, and state and local government revenue actually was up in 2020 from the year before. It wasn't down. And so between that and the various forms of federal aid that went to the states, we did, I think, dodge a bullet in many cases when it comes to the worst case scenarios that could have been there. But that being said, there was, a very wide degree of differences between how governors and state legislators decided to navigate pandemic policy-related decisions, whether that meant keeping economies open or more lockdown measures from governors and chief executives in many cases, whether that was looking at the budget situation and making budget cutbacks, or whether in some cases that was raising taxes. And that we saw lots of different ways that states diverged from each other. And that was part of this report, that we certainly measured all of those things over the last year. But it was a challenging year, and I'm glad to see at least hopefully the worst is behind us here.
And what challenges do you see for state policymakers to make improvements going forward?
Well, there's no doubt there's lots of challenges still ahead. We look at, for instance, now, even in Washington, D.C., we have federal funds going to the states, $350 billion going from Washington to the state and local units of government as part of the stimulus package, the federal aid package, ARPA, as it was signed by President Biden. And so now states are coming back and dealing with how they navigate to spending those dollars. We all hope that on behalf of their economies and taxpayers, those dollars are spent wisely. One of the challenges, I think, from Washington is anytime Washington sends money to the states, there's no such thing as a free lunch. As the economist Milton Friedman would say, federal strings that are attached to the dollars can be very costly and can really tie the hands of state policymakers trying to do the right thing. And so we're still navigating as to what options are on the table for state policymakers when they come back and decide how they spend the federal dollars. One thing that we just learned from the U.S. Treasury was that, thankfully, the federal government did give flexibility for states to use these federal dollars to backfill and replenish their unemployment insurance trust funds that may have been certainly depleted in some cases because of the claims over the last year from those that were unemployed. And so we think that's perhaps one of the better ways for states to use the federal funds, is to help shore up their unemployment trust funds to ensure that those payments are there for future unemployment claims, and also that there wouldn't be a need to raise taxes on employers.
What can our communities in New Mexico do to help improve the rankings in the state?
Well, there is quite a bit of work to be done. As you noted, that New Mexico's ranking this year in rich states, poor states, fell down from 34th to 38th place for economic outlook. And that was due to some of the recent income tax increases on individuals, and only a few states in America on an apples-to-apples equally comparison basis raised taxes more than New Mexico did over the last 2 years. So I think looking at ways to hopefully pare back the burden on individual taxpayers. Of course, sales taxes in New Mexico are also some of the highest in America. You add those two things together. You look at the debt that the state of New Mexico has accrued, certainly among the highest in the country. And so there are some things to work on. And I think part of this is at the state level, and this is a positive thing. It doesn't sound like it the way that we're talking about right now. What's positive, though, is that states need to balance their budgets. Here in Washington, we don't balance our budget. That's why we have now $28 trillion of national debt. We've been overspending and racking up the national credit card, unfortunately. But at the state level, they do have to balance their budget. And so that really means that to get taxes down and become more affordable as a state, to create more economic opportunity and hopefully bring more people into New Mexico, because New Mexico has been one of those states that people have been leaving over the last decade, according to the Census Bureau data, there needs to be a real discussion about how do you provide your core government services to citizens of New Mexico, maybe more efficiently, so you can actually reduce taxes and make New Mexico more competitive for job creators and more entrepreneurship across the state.
And what is the regional competitiveness of the states here in the Southwest, Arizona, Utah, Texas, compared to New Mexico?
It's a great question, and as we've talked about New Mexico's ranking at 38th being something that certainly needs improvement in the future years, it does also just double down on the importance of that, looking at the Southwest region as being one of the most competitive regions in America, according to our Rich States, Poor States Economic Outlook rankings, with Colorado at number 20, and then Arizona at number 13. The Texas story is one that's well known to residents of New Mexico, and of course, well known nationally, one of the most competitive economies in America and Texas, a state without a personal income tax, and ranking number 9 this year in rich states, poor states. And then Utah, really an incredible story in its own right, ranking number 1 in rich states, poor states this year, the top-rated state in America. And not just this year, but every year for the last 14 years, every edition of rich states, poor states, Utah is ranked number 1 because of just some very quality public policies that I think policymakers in Santa Fe and capitals across the country could really study and learn a lot from Utah in terms of their property tax reform and really helping to solve their public pension unfunded liabilities and keeping the promise to public employees, but also keeping taxes and unfunded liabilities in check. It's really an incredible story there in Utah at number one.
And where can people find more information?
Well, they can go to richstatespoorstates.org, and it's an incredible resource with New Mexico's ranking both this year, but all in 14 editions of this publication, as well as states across the country. And so we encourage you to check out the website.
Well, I really appreciate you taking time to speak to us about rich states, poor states, and the ranking that New Mexico has of 38. And hopefully we can raise that for the following year and that the pandemic will have subsided as well. Chief Economist and Executive Vice President of Policy for ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, Jonathan Williams. Thank you.
Well, it's a pleasure. Thank you for the invitation to join you. And hopefully next year when we're talking about this, New Mexico will be more competitive.
Thank you again. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Emily Guerra.